Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to yet another incredible episode of Mission Accepted Podcast. And if you have landed here today because you thought Mission Accepted sounded kind of cool and you don't know what we're about, you are in for a treat because this is where we get to explore entrepreneurship at the highest belly laugh. Like, this is all about people that take gumption, why they take gumption, why are you taking the mission? What made you think this was a great idea? Was it a great idea? We don't know. We just know that we're going for it. Anyways, we're so excited today because Amanda Thompson, I have had great honor of working alongside her and watching her in her glory. And I remember watching her doing a presentation and I'm like, that's somebody I want to have coffee with after. You know, when you go and you see someone, you know, on stage or you watch a video and you're like, man, I'd love to have a beer in the pub with them. You know what I mean? There's more to meet the eye. And I love that. You know what I'm talking about. It's just energy and it's bodacious and it's contagious and it's a lot of fun. And now look at you guys, you know, and I can say this, I can double down today and double down. Isn't double down like a sports term? I think we might talk a little bit about sports today, but we're going to double down because you guys know how much I adore you, how much we appreciate. You are sending in messages. I mean, I just love you guys. You know, you're pretty transparent, which, you know, that makes sense. So are we. You know, you're the things that you're doing, like cooking dinner, doing yoga, skating. Who does, someone's still roller skating. I don't know. Your podcast is super cool. It makes me laugh. So anyways, not only are you guys like the best podcast hosts and the best podcast listeners, but let me think. You're the most innovative. And I think you know what I mean. And if you don't, you will, because that would be a word that I would use to describe Amanda. So enough about me talking, Amanda. They hear me all the time. Let's bring you on to Mission Accepted. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Oh my gosh, Deb, it's my pleasure. And roller skating is a thing. It is now taking over Instagram, TikTok, and I'm talking OG roller skates.
Nice. Okay, you guys, you know, go in your closet or storeroom or the bin in the garage. That's right. It's like for me with records, right? So it's like, you know, the first time I took my son into a record store, we were driving. So my girlfriend was driving. We were coming back from, I don't know, something. And we were driving and he's like, oh my gosh, there's Narwhal. And I'm like, who's Narwhal? I mean, this must've been about 4 years ago. Narwhal. And so yeah, someone was what, 15, 16. And he's like, he interviews all the rap artists and blah, 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 blah. So my girlfriend knows me. She just like, goes to the side of the street. She's like, go. My son goes white. A Narwhal walks into a record store and I'm like, this is it. This is the time that you get to go meet him. And he's like, I'm like, and my girlfriend literally kicked him out of the car. She's like, go. Right. So we go and I'm like, okay, we're gonna go in that record store. And he's like, why? And I said, well, first of all, you're going to go meet this guy. And second, we'll buy an album. He's like, what do you mean? I go, oh, you don't think Drake has albums? You don't think Tupac has albums? You don't think Eminem? He's like, no. I'm like, let's take you on a journey today. So anyways, yeah, it all comes back around. We lived in the best time, hey?
Gosh, yeah, because we weren't on video.
Absolutely.
Get away with things. My general rule for my kids when they were growing was just always assume that everything you do is going to be on video. So just remember, like, if I don't see it, if dad doesn't see it, one of your friends or someone's going to get you on video. So just always be, you're always on camera. Just be mindful of that.
Yeah. Right. Whole different time. So, hey, this show's a lot about taking the mission and I've seen you do that and I am watching you do that again. So thank you so much for coming on. What does a woman who started, you know, being an entrepreneur at 14 have to say about yet starting a dream company? Share with us a little bit about that journey.
Gosh, you know, I think you realize maybe sometimes earlier in life or sometimes later in life that you were meant to be an entrepreneur. For me, I wanted to buy a car desperately. My parents basically said, hey, whatever you raise for a car, we will match. So I got to hustling at a pretty young age and I ended up with a really cool gig. I was a full-time nanny for a family. I would prep their meals. Like they would come in from work and homework was done. Kids were bathed and meals were prepped and ready to go. I joke with my husband now that I was like, I needed a me, right? But it set into motion really being able to get my first car. And for me, I think that always continued. I'm launching a new beauty brand called Kick Peach Beauty. And it started back in those teenage years. I would rip articles out of 17 and Teen magazine. You know, this was when I was, of course, like 4. But, you know, I would look at these DIY skincare components and I would be in my mom's kitchen and mixing up things and putting them in our hair and testing things. And so my love of skincare just started on that journey. And I think I've walked into that journey maybe in a little bit different of a way. That was my passion, but I grew up in corporate America, learning things about sales, operations, marketing, and having been an entrepreneur on top of that is really, I think, set me up to now launch my own brand, bring it to market, and make it a successful brand.
So I relate to you on many different levels. And I know so do many of our listeners where there was that you could take it back in time and see where the spark happened, maybe somewhere else, maybe in a different industry. I always say that, you know, there's many ways that we get into becoming an entrepreneur. Some of us can go back and see, oh, that's where it started, right? And then some of us, I always say, got dragged into entrepreneurship by our best friend or our partner, or, you know, people got, you know, dragged or drugged, you know, into the world of entrepreneurship. And then they found their groove later on. They came into something and they were like, I like the zest of an entrepreneurship, but I don't like this sector. And then they move around. But I think it's really interesting when you go back and you can tag it, right? Like you can, now there's, you know, the interesting word for it, but you can tag it. You can see where it kind of started for you. So you're going on this journey. You've had a journey. You're now doing something that you can go back and tag and say, this gave me a lot of joy and passion. But there's many aspects to a business. And we know, we've heard many stories of, you know, the most incredible baker that opens a bakery and in 6 months or 8 months or 12 months or 24 months, and they get caught in this cycle. I mean, I was just talking about that. They get caught in this cycle of they're really good at their craft, but there's other elements that make the business successful. I know that you talk a lot about your experience in corporate and understanding numbers and operations and strategy and marketing and what have you, and blending those together. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because one of the things that happen for entrepreneurs, and I see it as someone who does a lot of internal training and one-on-one coaching, you hear all the time, I know I need something, but I can't afford it because they're not being successful in their business. So where can you give some advice in that arena?
I think it's a really great question. And I think for me, even in my own entrepreneurial journey, I've struggled with, I would almost call it imposter syndrome. Is what I'm creating going to be good enough? So I think by the time you get to this stage of either creating, curating, making, opening, whatever it is, you've given a lot of thought to your product. But I think then the back end side is, what's the path that I need to take to get me where I want to go? I think about my dentist. I love her. She's an incredible dentist. But one of the things that she was not trained in dental school to do was run her P&L, run marketing, navigate her business. She was trained to do really great cosmetic dentistry. And so for her, it, you know, just in our conversation, it was like a chicken and an egg. And I think that happens a lot for entrepreneurs. So I think there's a couple of things that I would say are really powerful. There are now a lot of fractional services that you didn't even have pre-pandemic. I think a lot of people said, hey, I'm a fractional bookkeeper. If you're not great with, you know, QuickBooks, Quicken, hi, that's me. But having a bookkeeper yet doesn't make sense because I don't have enough transactions. There are a lot of fractional people who can step in and do that for you on a very part-time, spare time basis. you can find very reputable people to help you do your design, to do your SEO, Fiverr, Upwork. All of these aspects have given rise to this small entrepreneur doing really powerful and great things. So you're not ready to hire, but you know you can't do it at all, and none of us can do it all. Or, you know, I always joke that like being the CEO means you're often the chief everything officer, especially when you're starting. So you do have to say, what are the things that I love? What are the things that are getting in the way of what I love? And how much is that really costing me? Because for example, I hate to do my books. I'm that girl who takes all my receipts, throws them in a box, gives them to my accountant at the end of the year. And he literally gives me icy eyes every year. And I tell him every year, I promise next year I'm going to be better. And then I'm not. So I really have learned it's because it's not my wheelhouse. So I put it off. And so when I launched this business, I took those things that crippled me and I said, that is not worth it, because that shoebox that I put off, I still have to go through, and now I have to do it on a deadline. So finding good fractional work is great. I think also you can lean into people in your network who are looking to get some additional experience, and maybe you can give them part, you know, a small amount of ownership, or maybe you can give them free product. There's a lot of creative things you can do in partnering with people and give what you get, and they want to help you with that. And so I think that that's a really important piece. It's just finding small tools along the way.
And I think that's great. You know, I also, one of the areas that I think people forget a little bit about is the negotiation part. So yes. If you are looking for someone, I just had a conversation with a very considerable speaker, and I was going, okay, so what's your gauge on speaking and what do you charge for this and that? And she's like, well, it's gone anywhere from $2,500 to $25,000. I'm like, that's pretty vast. You know, that's pretty vast. Right. And she says, well, you know, sometimes when companies are just starting, it's $2,500 in 2 years of products. She goes, so there's my Christmas presents. I mean, and this is a keynote speaker that you would never think those words would come out of their mouth. This is just a private conversation. And most people are willing to negotiate if they actually believe in you, just the power of you. And what, you know, even just being able to say, what is the best price that you can offer me right now in my business? And you know what? Feel free to take me back up to your regular fee as we progress and I get more successful. You're going to know when that's happened. I'm going to know when that's happened. And I think that there can be some flexibility around that, because a lot of people are like, I can't with the assumption, and then it disempowers them a little bit. So not that you're going to go out there and ask people to do everything for you for free. There needs to be a value to value exchange, but what can that look like even from a temporary standpoint? But here's something.
You can't lose what you do best, right? If you're a baker and your job is to bake, you can't spend more time doing books than you are baking, because at the end of the day, you're never going to get more revenue if you don't do what you do best. You have to be able to delegate very quickly. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. It just brings me to something that I absolutely love, that you've really honed in on, and I think was something that you really dove into. Was there's, you know, there's a lot of people that do a lot of things. I mean, you know, they would say, God bless you, bless her. You are going into a very highly competitive market space. People know and see skincare, and sometimes walk into a store or pull it up online and you can really get a glaze. There's a lot of words that people use in skincare that are highly used and highlighted, and the best. And there's all sorts of things that make it difficult as a consumer. And who do you trust and who do you don't? Or people that are really attached to a line that's worked for them and they're scared to go try something new or what have it is. So you've really, I think that you've done something that I think is quite wonderful in the sense of, from a strategic standpoint, many people think, I'm an incredible baker and I'm going to be successful. I'm like, they think that the differentiator is them, and it can be, but it's not them. It's those cinnamon buns that someone talks about and puts on the Instagram, and like that cinnamon bun makes, you know, so what is it that you're doing differently? And I'd never, ever heard, Amanda, I'm going to let you announce it because it's pretty incredible. Like the thing that's different about this skincare that as someone who's used skincare products made me lean in. As soon as you said it, I was like, that's cool. And I'm a big proponent of that's cool. So you know, without sounding generic, what's so unique? What is the niche within this vast sector that you're stepping into?
Yeah, and beauty is super noisy. I've been in the space for 15 years. I've worked with some incredibly amazing brands. I've worked with fabulous ingredients. And, you know, I kept having people push me. And then they say, Amanda, you know so much about ingredients. You know so much about skincare. And I've really built trust with my audience over the past, gosh, you know, multi-decades, if you will, on being somebody who is a trusted advisor with skincare. And so for me, I really believe that if you're an entrepreneur, you can have a really great idea, but you do need to use data to help you make that decision. So I really started looking into this thought process of, okay, well, if I created something, I didn't want to create another lotion, another potion, another serum, another cleanser. I didn't want to get, you know, pigeonholed into an ingredient. I really wanted to do something completely different in this space. And so I started doing a lot of research. I think that most people, when we're looking for beauty today, we're looking for simple, we're looking for easy to incorporate into our routine, and we're looking for sustainability. More than ever, consumers are thinking about their beauty footprint, and they're thinking about really, you know, the package sizing and what we're doing. And so as I started gathering data, I started really this one question that everybody has always asked me, which is, why is my skincare really just not doing anything? I feel like I try everything on the market, all of these things. And so this one question kind of led me down these rabbit holes, then to back it with data. So if you look in open space, all of us as entrepreneurs are trying to do something innovative in our space. And as you kind of peel the layer back, it will come to you very quickly as you start to see, you know, Reddit threads, you start to look at Quora, you start to look at all these things. What are people saying? And what I kept seeing in these threads was exactly what my friends were saying. Why is my skincare not doing anything? And then I started seeing, why am I paying for these giant containers that feel like water? So I did a lot of research, and the data would suggest that water, most of our skincare formulations are 65 to 90% water. So when you start thinking about, what am I paying for? Is it really working, or is it just watered down? And am I paying to ship water all across the world? That seems like an incredibly environmentally unfriendly practice. What options exist? So I actually created a powder-based formula. You empty a packet into your hand, you add a little bit of warm water to it, you mix it, and it turns into a gel that you put on your face at night, and it does all the things. So it's one simple product. It's super lightweight. It's really made to reduce your carbon footprint. And while we call it waterless beauty, it's really water less. So how can you use less water in your beauty routine? How can you still get the results? It is a pure active formula. So there's no fragrance, there's no preservative, there's none of the stuff that when you read a beauty product label, if you, you know, really regret not paying attention in high school chemistry, you wonder what half the ingredients are, let alone what they do on your skin. So I wanted something super simple. I wanted to create that. And so that's what I did. I just went to work.
Wow. So I don't think I've ever heard of, like you said, water less. I mean, it's interesting because we've started to see it happen in nutraceuticals, right?
Sure.
But never. And as someone who travels, maybe not as much as someone like yourself that knows every code to every airport in mankind. If you ever want to know if you're going to Vancouver, Amanda's going to go, oh, you're going to YVR. So one of her secret formulas is knowing all the codes to all the airports. What? Okay. So when you're, you know, for me, whenever I'm looking at things like that as someone who's traveling, that's perfect. Those I've gone to like, okay, how can I make the least amount in my suitcase and all that good stuff. But so tell me, what is, so, you know, you come home with this idea, your husband goes, what? Like, what was it like after being in the industry for so long? You have had a long corporate and entrepreneur career. What was it like for you to go through the process of reinvention? Because here's the thing, many entrepreneurs 10, 15, 20 years in almost can have that same crippling feeling when they're converting their entrepreneur business into something else, as it was when you left corporate originally, or when you decided to dive in. It's a different conversation with yourself when you go to reinvent.
It is. And it's scary. I mean, honestly, if you're being just incredibly transparent, you know, you have this idea. So this idea really came to me through a conversation with my husband and really doing all of this research. And I really looked into the market and there was nothing. Like I literally thought to myself, okay, how has no one done this or done it in the way that I want to do this? There are some powder formulas on the market. They're very single note. They're in big, messy containers that kind of powder everywhere. You don't get prescriptive dosing. So very quickly, I was like, oh, this is why people haven't done it, because it's a small amount and it needs to be in a small little stick pack to keep its freshness, if you will. And so I think, you know, for me, as I looked at this entrepreneurial journey, this step of, am I good enough? Am I confident enough? Oh, I'm not a dermatologist. Oh, I'm not a chemist. And my husband always has these really salient moments in my life. And I can go back and think of like five, what I call them, forks in the road, because my husband has asked me a just ultra truthful question in my life. And his answer to me was, well, yeah, there's plenty of products that have been formulated by chemists and dermatologists, but if those were all that great, we still wouldn't be looking for what you're creating. And it was so empowering for me to just have that person in my corner who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And I think that you have to have someone, whether it's a family member, whether it's your best friend, maybe it's your dog or your cat. I don't know who that person is, but you have to have that person who advocates for you and pushes you to think through that. Because otherwise, I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs I've talked to, and Deb, you probably have talked to them too, where they have a great idea, but they don't actually act on it. They don't do anything with it. And then 10 years later, someone invents or creates what they were thinking about. And they're like, I had that idea. You know, you saw that thing on Shark Tank. I actually created it, but I was too scared of what people would say. And so this for me, I am getting ready to celebrate my 47th birthday. It is a very, you know, strange time in my life to say like, okay, I'm going to go all in, go big or go home. But my whole life, I lost my dad when I was 24 years old. And he said to me before he got promoted to heaven, he said two things: floss your teeth and don't ever regret anything. Like, go big, go home, because when it's your time, you're never going to look back and want to regret that. So I just think you need that advocate, but you have to go all in on yourself, and you have to just keep putting one step in front of the other.
I think you said something really, so first of all, thank you for that. And wise words from your dad. Flush your teeth. You know, My message to my daughter on her 16th birthday is like, you earn the right to vote. And on a really bad day, you're entitled to come home, put on a Janis Joplin album and have a glass of wine. So, you know, your dad's advice is a little more holier. But the interesting thing that you said is having someone in your corner, believing in yourself. I think that for a lot of people as well, they don't see how it's going to come into fruition. And in those moments, I always bring up the word providence, where, and I have watched you do this, where when you truly finally make that decision, all unforeseen and unforetold things come into action. Like, you end up having a conversation, or someone, like, you know, how we ended up reconnecting and having a conversation. Someone's like, you guys need to talk. And here we are. And I think that all of those things, you can't foresee everything.
Yeah. Right?
You just can't foresee everything.
And I think the best gifts of entrepreneurship are oftentimes the things you can't see. They are the things that are great. It's that time when you reach out to a journalist and they say, yes, I want to feature you in an article. And it's that time when you realize, oh crap, I didn't register for sales tax in a certain state. Now I owe X number of dollars. And you're like, okay, but you learn from that. And I think if you have this mindset that it's not going to get easier, you're just going to get better, and you're going to start to be more flexible, you relieve a little pressure that you need to know it all, and you do learn how to ask questions. I would also encourage people to ask their network, because things that you might think are hard for you are actually really easy for other people. So you never know who's like, oh yeah, don't shortcut that shortcut, or hey, does anybody have advice on this? You'd be amazed at what your network can share with you to help. But I think you have to be open to that experience and realize that you are going to also have small moments of failure and big moments of failure along the way. But the only time it ever really truly fails is when you say enough. And it is hard. And there are days, I'm sure, Deb, you've had days where you're like, why am I doing this? Like, this is crazy. Why am I doing this? I have had those moments. And then the next minute is just like a happy birthday moment, because somebody will say like, oh, hey, I literally had somebody buy 100, like 30 night supplies of this product in our pre-launch. And I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. I didn't even have packaging ready. So it was super exciting. And it was on the heels of one of those moments of like, is anybody going to actually like this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love how transparent our sector of entrepreneurship has become, right? I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years. You've been playing this game for a while as well. You know, I would call us mavens and crones at this point. So, right, seriously. And I love the transparency. I think it is going to bring entrepreneurs together. And I think it's going to take that I have to be, because you can literally have that moment and get a $1 million check in the mail that day. And once you play this game, you know that's how it works. You just know that's how it works. It all pays off in the end. But let's do a little diversion here. I want to come back to talk about your company, and I know that we're running out of time. I mean, you could, and we will, you know, we should do a 3-part series or something. I think that would be fantastic to do a 3-part series. But digging into a little bit of Amanda, so, you know, some of those things that people don't know about each other, what is it about sports? What is it with you in sports? And you've got a how many letters do you have? Like, you have more letters than the alphabet? Like, do tell.
Oh my gosh. This is one of my, you know, they, when people ask you, they're like, okay, tell us 3 truths and a lie. I always use this in that game, because I love beauty. I love cooking. I love reading. And really the only thing I love about sports is being at an event to have a glass of wine and talking to my friends. Like, I don't really care about sports at all. So the fact that I actually lettered in high school in every single sport my high school offered, including football, men's wrestling, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, was pretty hilarious. In fact, when I met my husband, and he, you know, how you pull out like your relics, he held up my letter jacket and he's like, why do you have a wrestling and a football pin? I was like, oh, actually there's an answer to that. And it's because I was a cheerleader. And because I was a cheerleader for all those sports, I put in enough hours on a varsity team event to get a letter in every single one of those sports. And my husband literally fell down laughing, because again, I'm such a girly girl. He's like, that might be the most hilarious thing about you ever, because I'm just about as unsportsmanly, you know, in terms of athletic prowess as you possibly could get. And so he died. So I'm really not that athletic, but I do have a letter in every single one of my sports in my high school.
Well, I think that just goes to show that there's many ways, you know what they say, there's many roads to Rome, and there's always a really good story behind a good story. Oh my gosh. Okay. So before we kind of get you to dive a little bit in and tell us more about how we can find out about what you're doing, because I'm sure you've intrigued the minds of many. I'm not going to say tell us something that you don't know, but here's something that I believe, and I don't know if you do too. I believe that words are really powerful. And I think that when you have, we all have, you know, I don't know if you, but again, I was talking about how my office looks like Tony Robbins' garage sale, and I have my treasure maps, and I've been treasure mapping forever, right? My daughter's 30. We did it like when she was 1, you know, okay, what do you want a little toy on your treasure map? Like, we had little treasure maps and they grew and grew. And so we used to do it on New Year's Eve. And so I have these treasure maps, and there's things that I know that I want to accomplish. And it's interesting, because sometimes when people say, okay, you know, what's your top 3 things? And you kind of draw a blank a little bit. You're like, you know, there's so many, but what, you know, do we really know? And is it written down somewhere? And I'll always remember the story of when I had an experience to hang out with Jack Canfield a little bit. And he was telling me how he had on his office wall, you know, his bucket list. Like he was completely transparent with his bucket list and that other people got to see it. And many people, we don't do that. Many times we don't do that. And he just happened to have, you know, he wanted to fly in this very unique, very few ever made firefighting jet. Okay. So one guy walked into his office one time and said, "Oh, you want to fly that?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's on my bucket list. I want to do." He's like, "I'm one of the, I don't know, two pilots in the world that knows how to fly that jet." He's like, "Let's do it." So I'm going to ask you, isn't that cool? I'm going to ask you for the world to know, what's something on your bucket list, either personal or business, something that you like absolutely want to experience? Let's throw it out there and see where it sticks.
I want to be on QVC with my brand.
Okay.
That, you know, so I have long loved QVC. I grew up where we had Home Shopping Network or QVC on in the background. And if you've ever watched that show, I would credit my success in sales to watching that show, because you learn the emotional psychology behind it. And I love it. I love how they brought and totally innovated shopping, and they're about ready to do it again. You know, in this space of our life, this live selling is so fun. So on top of my love for beauty, I have long wanted to be a host on QVC. And so now finally I can put them all together. So I'm putting it out there that you will see my beauty brand on QVC. I will get to have my dream come true. I won't be a host, I don't think, but I'll meet a host and I'll be able to have a segment on QVC.
All right. So there it is. Now that's all going out to the, that's going out to the universe. All right. So
all after this from a buyer at QVC, I just know it.
Absolutely. And you're going to call and take me out. We're going to go and do something off my bucket list. You're like, "Deb, after my first show, we're going to go do this on your bucket list. We're going to go make perfume in a castle in Ireland. That's what we're going to go do." And I know how to make perfume. So we're 90% there. We're just going to go have a beautiful glass of wine, make a really beautiful niche perfume for someone really, really special. That's what we'll do.
Oh my gosh. That sounds fabulous. Okay. Deal. We have a deal.
We have a deal. Okay. Tell us where, when, how can we try this product? Where do you want us to go? How can we find you?
Yeah, the easiest way is social media, right? Today, all of us are on social media. Instagram is just at Kick Peach. So just like it sounds, kick like you're kicking a soccer ball, peach as in the fruit. So Instagram handle is at Kick Peach. It's where we keep everything up to date. You can see all of our newsroom activities, our products. If you know you want a sample, we have a sampling program. So there's all sorts of ways you can experience that by just going to Instagram at Kick Peach.
All right. And if you are driving or flying your flyer jets or doing whatever it is that you're doing, or you're hosting a show today, you can just take a look in the show notes and that will all be there for you. Amanda, this isn't the first time that Mission Accepted is going to have you, nor the last. I'm looking forward to watching the progression of your company. And I think that just even if someone was like, you know, "I don't use skincare for whatever reason," I think you need to follow Amanda, because if you listened to the majority of this show, it's about the lessons behind the entrepreneur. Like, I think we do watch and learn from people, and you know, you're doing it right. So congratulations on that. And I have one final question for you. Sure. Now you're on your way to a desert island. It's you and you. It's you and you. You have one suitcase, right? And she's going to know the code of the airport to go. But anyway, you have one suitcase, and in that suitcase, you have room for one album and one music album only. What is the album that you are going to take that you could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days?
Gosh, I'm not going to give you a commercial answer. I'm going to give you an album that my dad made for me when I turned 21. My dad loved music. He had 10,000 albums and LPs. And the way that we communicated is that he would take those albums and he would burn them onto a CD and custom make these CDs for me. And on my 21st birthday, he gave me one that I could listen to on replay. It is like his heart and they're his favorite. So it like makes me teary kind of thinking about it. But you know, I think I would take that with me. And it was called Swim. The name of that was Swim. And he did all this beautiful custom artwork on the front of it. And it has everything from Fleetwood Mac to Roxy Music to classical jazz music, but they all had a special song behind them. So I would take Swim with me.
All right. Well, that makes sense because you are going to a tropical island and I'm sure you're going to be, I'm sure that you're going to have to go swim and get yourself some dinner or something. That's fantastic. So thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Two things, you know, if you want to be sitting where Amanda is and you've got something to share, we're happy to have that conversation. Just reach out to deb@debdrummond.com. And look, you guys know what we're in, right? We are in the largest international Women's Day speakership and authorship that's ever been done. And I got to tell you, I get to every single day sit at this incredible desk in this office and I get to talk to women that are rocking the world. Now, look, it is free globally. No one needs to pay. There's no upgrade. There's no VIP. We are all VIP and we are all celebrities coming. If you are a woman or someone who supports women in gumption, in projects, in business, in life, it is the place to be. And it has been created for you on the eighth day of every single month for you to come and fill your bucket up, because we all need our buckets up. Whether you are an entrepreneur, whether you are working for someone else, whoever's dreams you're building, whatever you're doing, there's always room for a little bit of extra love in your teacup. That's just the way it works, right? And we know when we're full, there's a great sense of satisfaction and there's a great ability to give to others without a sense of depletion, because that's not an equal exchange. If you're tired, say no. If you're tired, come and get your, just come and show up. Come on and off, pop on and off. Oh my gosh, we've had people leave their camera off of their vacuuming and cutting dinner. We're there for 10 hours to support you. And the people that are sharing are incredible. And there is a celebrity that comes to every single month. Now, everyone's a celebrity. We just have one that has a little bit extra following to come and wow you. So please come join us. It is our gift to you. deb@debdrummond.com. Go to debdrummond.com and go to the events page and it will tell you everything and you can just click a link and show up and be there. All right, thank you, Amanda, again for being with us on Mission Accepted. And you guys, until we see you again, be well and stay groovy.